When we look to probiotics, we can distinguish always between spore-forming probiotics and, let's say, lactic acid bacteria probiotics, I would call them, which are there in a vegetative cell form, whereas the other spore-forming probiotics, as it already says, they are, let's say, coming into the feed as a spore. And this has a very great advantage because the spore is very resistant against heat, yeah, which is, of course, very important when we pelletize our feeds, but also very resistant against low pH, for example.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Poultry Star is a unique feed ingredient that includes a prebiotic and probiotic, and it's designed specifically for poultry. Improve gut health with Poultry Star. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/poultrystar. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Zoetis Hatchery Health Team helps you raise field-ready birds with a strong immune foundation. Learn more at zoetis.com.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Korver, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this interview interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Dr. Lucas Bauer, who received his bachelor's and master's degree in agricultural sciences from the Technical University of Munich in Germany, specializing in animal nutrition and feed production. He completes his academic education with a PhD at the University of Bonn, focusing on the development and testing of a novel feed additive. He began his professional career in January 2017 as technical support manager at Evonik's animal nutrition business line in Hanau, Germany, and has had several roles at Evonik since then. Since September 2025, Lucas holds the position of global portfolio development manager, focusing on the advancement of Evonik's specialty nutrition portfolio. His work centers on developing innovative, science-backed solutions to enhance the profitability and sustainability of animal production. In addition to his role at Evonik, Lucas has gained extensive hands-on experience in agriculture by managing a mixed farming operation with sheep and poultry alongside his family in southern Germany. Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, Lucas.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction, Doug, and I'm happy to be here. So looking forward to our discussion. Yeah,
it'll be great. Can you tell us a little bit about your career path to your current position? Have you always been interested in poultry, or is that something you came to later?
That's a good question. So actually, when I studied down in Munich, you probably know that in southern Germany, actually there are more cows than chicken, yeah. So there was a lot about, let's say, dairy in my studies, up to the master's and then also doing the PhD to some point. But working for Evonik later on brought me more onto the poultry path. Yeah. So where, of course, Evonik is one of the biggest supplier in the poultry industry of amino acids and also specialty additives. Yeah. And that's why I would say for the last 6 to 7 years, I have focused only mainly on poultry, not so much on other species anymore. Yeah.
Evonik Animal Nutrition is committed to ensure food security and safety while reducing the ecological footprint of animal farming. Its products and services use evidence-based solutions that seek to promote animal welfare and reduce reliance on natural resources. All this is underpinned by long-standing industry partnerships and deep customer understanding. Evonik's focus on efficiency, sustainable, healthy nutrition, and collaborations with livestock farming partners creates value for customers and consumers.
So let's talk about probiotics. Probiotics in poultry is not a new concept, but what are some of the characteristics of a successful modern probiotic?
Yeah, I would say when we look to probiotics, we can distinguish always between spore-forming probiotics and, lactic acid bacteria probiotics, I would call them, which are there in a vegetative cell form, whereas the other spore-forming probiotics, as it already says, they are, coming into the feed as a spore. And this has a very great advantage because the spore is very resistant against heat, yeah, which is of course very important when we pelletize our feed, but also very resistant against low pH, for example, which they of course exhibit, so to say, in the upper gastrointestinal tract, yeah, in the proventriculus or maybe on the swine side, also in the stomach. And in that, let's say, conditions, those spores, they are really surviving, whereas the vegetative cell or the lactic acid bacteria, they definitely have some difficulties. So I would say, especially in the poultry industry, more and more producers, they are focusing on the spore-forming probiotics. So I would say that's definitely the area where we have more confidence, yeah, in using the probiotic, yeah.
So the spores make it through the more acidic part of the digestive tract, and then what happens as they enter the small intestine and move further down the digestive tract?
Yeah, so when the bird ingests the spore, as you say, yeah, so the spore is quite inert, yeah, it's resistant against this acidic environment in the upper gastrointestinal tract. But as soon as it enters the small intestine, we all know there is a more neutral pH, yeah. Also, there will be a lot of nutrient release from the raw materials in the feed because of the enzymes, yeah, in the small intestine. And under these conditions of the small intestine, so higher pH and more nutrient availability, the spore actually starts germinating, as we say. So it gets activated, let's say, in other words. And with that activation, it also starts to grow out of this spore hull, and it will become an active cell, active bacterial cell. And only this active bacterial cell will then show the probiotic effects, yeah, and will also reproduce and multiply. Yeah? The spore itself, it doesn't have any probiotic effects, or it can also not multiply or reproduce, yeah, as the bacterial cell can do, of course.
So maybe you can describe the term spore outgrowth. What is spore outgrowth, and why should poultry nutritionists care about that?
Yeah, and let's say spore outgrowth, that's the, let's say, general word for that transition from a spore to an active bacterial cell. And as you can imagine now from my explanations before, that fast transition from spore to active cell in the intestine, of course, is very important, because as sooner or as faster this active cell is available in the intestine, the more probiotic effects we can expect to happen. And especially in broilers, yeah, where we know that the gastrointestinal tract is very short, or there is a very fast transit time, so to say, it's even more important, yeah, to have this very fast spore outgrowth and to have the probiotic effect later on. No?
Mm-hmm. So once the spores become activated and become viable cells, do they stay resident in the digestive tract, or they flushed out, or do they establish themselves in niches?
So of course, let's say as soon as the probiotic bacteria is there, it multiplies, yeah, as I said, and it will definitely search for niches where it can develop better, yeah. So for example, the mucin layer on the epithelial cells, this is definitely the area where they can develop quite well because of the nutrient availability as well, and also some kind of physical protection is there. But of course, they will be, let's say, moving upwards and downwards. Yeah. So there is it's not definitely one point where they stay. It's really they are flexible. But the small intestine, so I would say up to the, of course, ileum in the end, this is where they can grow the best. Yeah. So later on in the cica, there is, of course, a lot of other bacteria, bacterial growth. There's a lot of fermentation going on. And that's where especially the probiotic cells or the bacteria we are working with, they don't have that big chance anymore to, let's say, grow very well and to inhibit pathogens, for example. Yeah?
So it sounds like the products are most effective when they're continually fed throughout the life of the bird or at particular ages?
Yeah, definitely. So we have actually done also some experiments where we have stopped the supplementation and then measured further on what is the level of this probiotic we have fed to the animal. And we see actually after three days, yeah, the count of this probiotic is really going down. Yeah, so definitely not advisable to feed the probiotic for a certain phase only and then to stop it and then to expect that it will be there for all the time. And so this is one advice, of course. And the other thing is that we should start as early as possible in the life of the animal to give this probiotic, because then it has a very big chance to let's say, grow and outgrow, so to say, also pathogens, because there is still not that much competition, so to say, going on.
Yeah, that immature microbial population that hasn't developed all the complexity. And let's go back and talk about spore outgrowth. How do you test spore outgrowth in your formulations or in complete feed?
That's a great question, and it's quite complicated, yeah, when you think about it in detail or when you want to really measure it, because you cannot just measure it, let's say, in the animal and to have reproducible results, because as we know, the microbiota composition of every animal is slightly different, and also let's say the diet or the feed intake, yeah, of the bird will always vary, yeah. So and that means we have to create conditions where we can create reproducible results, and that's basically only possible in vitro systems. But there is also a disadvantage that those in vitro systems don't necessarily simulate or mimic what is going on in the real bird, right? And and we have to find something in between. And what we are doing now is that we are having, Evonik has developed a so-called dynamic avian intestine in vitro system. So it's really, it's a in vitro system which has different compartments, and those compartments, they are simulating the different compartments of the gastrointestinal tract of the poultry itself as well. So in those different compartments, we can simulate the pH, we can simulate also the enzyme availability, we can simulate with that also the nutrient availability, so to say, and we can use representative feeds and pre-digest those feeds or digest those feeds in this model, and then we can use this pre-digested feed, so to say, as a medium to see how good a spore will outgrow based on that medium, which is again based on a representative feed. And in some initial trials, we have seen that, and this is what I mentioned in the beginning, the spore germination or outgrowth will only happen in the duodenum, so in the first part of the small intestine. And that's why we use pre-digested feed up to the duodenum as the basis for this spore outgrowth tests, yeah. And what we do in the next step, so we, as I said, we create those pre-digested feed medium, and then we can use different probiotic products. We can use a lot of different strains in our tests, yeah. We can also, of course, use different feeds, yeah, which is also quite interesting. And then we measure by using Resazurine or Presto Blue, better known as Presto Blue, which is giving fluorescence after there is active cell available, after there are active cells available. And with that fluorescence, we can measure how fast we have active cells in the test, and also what is the level of active cells, yeah? And with that, we can determine for every probiotic product, but also for different feeds, how fast this spore outgrowth actually happens. So that's As you see, that's a very, let's say, sophisticated and complicated test to set up, but it's really necessary because you cannot just test it with normal lab medium. This will not give you the right answers. Yeah.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. You can also set the notifications to on from our channel so you don't miss any other upcoming episodes. And as always, please feel free to leave us your comments at any time. Your feedback is always important to us. So, Lucas, you talked about the spore outgrowth and how you measure it. What are the characteristics of your company's probiotic relative to other products?
Yeah, so this spore outgrowth test, so to say, this enabled us to really check, let's say, the spore outgrowth profile of different probiotics in the market, but also to improve our product on that characteristic. And in the last years, we have done some extensive research to improve our product on that outgrowth profile characteristic. And nowadays, when we use different diets, different representative diets from different regions, and also a lot of different competitor probiotic products, so which are all based on the spores, of course, we see that our product, the Ecobiol, is now performing very consistent across different diets and also always the fastest in across different diets. Whereas for other products, we actually see, and that's quite interesting, there's a lot of fluctuation depending on the diet you use as the medium. So in some diets, they are really struggling to have a certain outgrowth. And that also means that this probiotic will give, let's say, varying results, yeah, depending on the diet you give to the bird and the probiotic you are using. And that's, from our point, was really eye-opening because when we ask our customers, they sometimes also report that the results of using a probiotic are not consistent. And that is, in our opinion, one reason why we see those inconsistent results. As I said, there is opportunity to improve the probiotic on that outgrowth. Yeah,
that was going to be one of my questions because the microbiome, the microbiome of a chicken that's fed a corn-based diet and a wheat-based diet, very, very different. And as we see more and more co-products and byproducts being included, more novel feed ingredients and opportunity ingredients, that consistency becomes really important.
Yeah, and that's actually what we have seen. Yeah, so we have seen that those slower or more or less less consistent products, they were really struggling in for example in the European diet where there's already for example some canola meal used, but also relatively low crude protein levels we are already using, and then it seems that the amino acid availability is lower, and with that. They are really struggling to germinate and to grow from out of that spore hull, yeah, for example.
So what about the effect on the animal? Is there an effect on bird performance, or is this something that shows up great in the lab and doesn't translate well to the field?
Of course, that was one of the main questions for us later on. Yeah, can we also validate those this faster spore outgrowth in trials? And we have done our first trials, yeah, also necrotic enteritis challenge trials, yeah, where the birds were really challenged with Clostridium perfringens, for example, in this case. And we see definitely that this faster outgrowth is related with improved performance, yeah. So if we compare it with a slower probiotic, we see better performance and we also see less mortality. And that is also shown by less lesions, yeah, in the gut. So, so let's say my conclusion at the moment is that, of course, it's not all about this spore outgrowth. Yeah, there are also other things. But if you don't have this fast spore outgrowth, it's very difficult to get consistent and strong effects of the probiotic. Yeah.
So you mentioned a protective effect against necrotic enteritis. Are there other intestinal diseases that the probiotic protects against?
Yeah, so Clostridium perfringens, of course, is one example from this trial. I mean, we see definitely, for example, for Ecobiol, we see very good inhibition of Salmonella and E. coli as well. So it's not only inhibiting the gram-positive bacteria as the Clostridium perfringens, but also goes into the inhibition of gram-negative bacteria. And of course, this is very probiotic dependent, no? How much and how good they are inhibiting the different pathogens. But I would say the main ones like Clostridium perfringens, E. coli, and Salmonella, we see nowadays very strong inhibition already of the Ecobiol. Yeah?
There's protective effects against both poultry pathogens and potential foodborne illness pathogens.
Yes.
So as a nutritionist or a veterinarian or a buyer in general wants to be able to evaluate their probiotic options, what questions should they ask their supplier?
I think we can basically start with the ones they probably already asked for a long time, like what is the strain in that probiotic product? Is it a spore-forming probiotic, bacillus-based probiotic, for example? Because as I mentioned, those products they have a better stability in pellets, but also better shelf life, for example, yeah, which is also important. The next one is definitely: do you have in vitro inhibition, but also in vivo inhibition data, which aligns and also shows that the strain which is in that product is really effective. Then maybe we can already move on to those new characteristics, yeah, like spore outgrowth speed, yeah. So is this probiotic really consistent in this spore outgrowth? But is it also fast enough, for example, for the starter phase, yeah, where the young birds even have a faster transit time than more mature birds, yeah. And here it's very critical to have this faster outgrowth. So many suppliers might be not at the level where they can already answer this question about this spore outgrowth. So we believe that this needs to be established more in the industry. Then safety, I think this is sometimes underestimated. So is the strain not producing any transferable antibiotic resistance genes, for example? So this is, of course, not only important for the animals, it's also important for the farmers, yeah, for the producers in the end. And of course, yeah, the scientific evidence. Yeah, the supplier show what are actually the mode of actions of this probiotic strain? So how does it actually inhibit the pathogen? Is it by producing any antimicrobial compounds? Yeah. Is it by chrome quenching? Is it by producing a lot of lactic acid? Yeah, all those questions, I think they need to be answered. Yeah.
So is your product commercially available and is it globally available?
Yeah, so we, of course, Ecobiol, for example, is in the market since long time. So, but this new generation, yeah, with this improved outgrowth, we have just started to launch this, but it's globally available already now. So we are really happy, yeah, to discuss further with customers and if they want to test, of course. But we also have, let's say, a wider range of probiotic products, yeah, also relevant for swine, for example. And also another product like gut care for the poultry side, which is more positioned, let's say, in the inhibition of gram-positive bacteria. Yeah.
Well, that's great to know.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. At Signify Animal Lighting, we use light as a tool, backed by science to support growth, comfort, and performance. Better light, better animals. Better results with Signify.
Every day you're up before the sun, caring for your animals, your land, and your livelihood. You don't cut corners, and neither do we. At Signify Animal Lighting, we use light as a tool, backed by science to support growth, comfort, and performance. We've spent decades studying how animals respond to light, how it guides their day, reduces stress, and supports the healthy growth you depend on. We turn that knowledge into lighting systems that help you create the right environment from sunrise to sundown. Better light, better animals. Better results with Signify.
Before we let you go today, we've got our three questions that we always ask our guests. The first question is, do you have a favorite poultry or agriculture-related book or resource?
Well, that's, I would say I don't really have a specific one. Yeah, I mean, for us nutritionists, it's always good to have some data, yeah, to have some recommendations to formulate the diets with. So definitely, let's say, breeder recommendations are really good to have, but also, let's say, what we give out, for example, as a resource is AminoDAT, so to have all the amino acid values for the raw materials available to formulate the diets. So I think those are the ones I really look at most frequently. Yeah.
Yeah, good to give a company plug there. How about outside of agriculture? Do you have a favorite book or resource that you go to?
What I really like is, let's say, I'm a little bit more interested also in financials. So what I really like to read are more like financial books. And one is definitely from Warren Buffett, yeah, with the Snowball. I don't know the English title because I read it in German, but it's a great book, yeah.
And our third question is, in your opinion, what is the most important characteristic for a person to have in order to be successful in your industry?
I think, first of all, it's the passion, yeah, for agriculture let's say, animal production. So if you don't have that passion, I think then it's definitely something you feel also sometimes in conversations, yeah, that someone is really passionate about the topic. Then I think definitely there is some other a different spirit, yeah, in the discussion. Another thing I think is resilience, yeah. Also as a farmer myself, I think we know resilience is very important because there are definitely tough times when prices are down, where you have to fight through, and then let's say really be positioned in a good place when there is a good market situation again. And I think that's actually the same for us as nutritionists, yeah. So sometimes feed prices, they are really challenging, yeah, and it's difficult, yeah, to keep up the profitability. But that's something we need to have, yeah, resilience, and yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, Dr. Lucas Bauer, thanks so much for joining us today on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Thanks, Doc. Was a pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to see you soon.
That concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is important to us. You can visit our website at wisenetics.com and learn more about all our podcast segments for poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed mill, crops, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.